January 19, 2018. It's the Wyatt from Pedro Show. Pedro Show. Actually, we're recording this in December, but you're hearing it now. We started with John Coltrane when he was playing with Thelonious Monk, with Baya live. I think Carnegie Hall. And then the Go Team, Tangerine, Satsuma, Clementine. It's appropriate because my guest, via the wonderful engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, Mr. Gates owns it now, though, Ian Parton of the Go Team.
Hey, Dan.
Thanks for having coming aboard and being on the show and talking about your new stuff. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Do you mean, yeah.
Clementine, yeah. Do you guys call tangerines that? In Italy, they do. Clementina, yeah.
Well, I've never quite known what. So you have different names for those things, don't you? Tangerines, Satsuma, Clementines.
Yeah, Clementine.
So what's what? I've never quite worked out which one's which. So
over here, Clementine's a name in a silly old-fashioned song.
Yeah.
Right, you've known that, so, but Clementina, yeah, Italy, tangerines. They're smaller and they're sweeter and they got looser skin than an orange, but I think they're all from China originally anyway. But is that what you were, because tangerine's in the title too.
Yeah, lots of my titles don't bear any resemblance to anything, to be honest. I have these notebooks that date back to the 90s, and every time I come up with a little slogan, I stick it in my notebook. So the band name, the Go Team, was actually dug out from a notebook from about 94 or something like that. So often whenever I need lyrics or something or little ideas, I go raid these notebooks from way back when, you know.
Yeah, slogan.
Yeah. In fact, I've even named a song after a what slogan, believe it or not. There's a song
slogans,
which is...
I write slogans, I guess.
Your
slogan is very earnest. I remember Dee Boone called song lyrics Thinking Out Loud.
Okay.
So you're more serious than slogans.
Whatever you want to call it, you know, kind of phrases or whatever, but there's a song which didn't make it onto the album called The Only Thing New Is You Finding Out About It.
Oh,
that's a you thing, isn't it?
But I heard that from somebody else's slogan, I think. There was this band in the city, San Francisco.
Right.
They were called Black Humor. And this is even before the 90s. And they would, I guess, go to thrift stores and used record stores and buy used records and just, make them theirs. They'd start painting all over them, name of their band. Yeah. I think mine was an Aretha Franklin record. They would, like, repurpose the album covers for their band. And they were called Black Humor. And there was a song on there. I can't remember what it was called, but it was really bizarre, screaming and hollering. And this one lady kept, she's like yelling at punk rockers, hippies in black leather jackets, hippies, black, over and over again. And this other guy's, or maybe it's her, she's taking in between, she's ranting and she's talking about somebody just buying Dead Kennedy record and getting a haircut and, you know, joining the trend or something. Then we got this stuff you put in your hair called Dippity Doo. It's a kind of gel, you know, maybe the old days. And they to get the Sid Vicious look, you know.
Yeah.
So she goes, Dippity Doo, the only thing new is you finding out about it, hippies!
So
I kind of appropriated it. I did like what they did with Aretha Franklin. They were called Black Humor. I think they only made one album. I don't even know if they did gigs or whatever. You know, in those days, you didn't know about the band, so you would just get it for the cover or the name of the band. You wouldn't know anything about it. How long ago, when was the last one come out? 2 years ago?
So, yeah, that would have been, well, no, the 3 years. 3 years,
okay. Wow, so big stretch.
Normally there's a 4-year gap between Go Team Records, but this one has been 3 years for some reason.
Oh, this is actually a shorter gap.
Yeah.
Okay. But a lot happened in that gap.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the old lineup, because, so, I mean, before the scene between, there was a natural kind of break in the band where,
That's the last record.
Yeah, before the last record. So after Rolling Blackouts and before the scene between,
right.
We kind of stopped operating as a band, things like that. It got pretty messy, you know, we couldn't really operate as a band. So it was a nice chance to kind of shrink back to me and, yeah, I mean, that's how it started anyway. It was really me.
Right, I was going to say, when you made your first record, you're on the whole thing. And from what I understand, you got some gig offers, and so you had to put together a band.
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted to put a band together. There was never an option of me doing it, you know, with a laptop or any of that bullshit. That would have been atrocious.
There's this band, though, that does that. Pretty kind of even. What are they? The Sleaford Mods.
Oh yeah.
Nottingham or something, and the guy literally hits a space bar.
Just nods. Yeah.
But
just
even
nods.
That being kind of what he's playing, it's just usually a drum machine and a synth or a bass.
But it suits them, though, because they're really aggro, do you know what I mean? They're just fucking just nodding and, like, you know, spitting, shouting over the top of it. So it's kind of...
Yeah, probably, it'd probably be too much competition if you had more going on. It suits them, like you said.
Yeah,
but I know what you mean. I've seen some other laptop... Well, I only saw videos of those guys, but the guys who sit, the worst ones where they sit in the chair.
Oh, no. For me, laptops should never be on a stage, to be honest. It's a bad look, you know. It's just should be a zero tolerance, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. But you put together a new band.
For this one, yeah.
But did you do it before you wrote the songs for this album or after?
Well, no, so I did the scene between, then we didn't really tour it for a while, and I got a band together then, and then we toured it.
Yeah.
And lots of the band are kind of carried over to this new record as well.
Okay, but, so you did write the songs with them in mind.
No, exactly. I never really ever write songs with the live thing in mind. It's more just being a kind of a guided by what the song needs, really, you know, and it varies from... The vocals are the big thing for me, you know, I don't know if you know, but I did lots of the vocals for this one with a teenage choir in Detroit. So I flew over especially to Detroit and did some recording with them, and that's made it a lot onto the record. But I'm always kind of racking my brain on what each song needs. You know, it could be one song needs some kind of almost like Japanese kind of voice, or one needs like a French voice, or a choir, or... something quite bratty and kind of girl groupy, sort of Phil Spector-y, or, you know, it needs like an old school rap on it, or, you know, so I really just write the songs and then just try and make it happen somehow, and I sort of scour the world for that the right voice, you know.
Well, when you started, you used a lot of samples. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, a fair bit. There's one song on the record called All The Way Live, which features... like a high school, almost like an after-school hip-hop club from the 80s, where, you know, like a teacher decided they were going to make a record with the kids, you know. So I sampled that pretty heavily. But, it's always a hybrid, you know, and I kind of like the idea that you can't really tell what's what. I've been using the samples in a kind of almost like a chordy kind of a way, so... I'll write a song and then often I will chop up samples to make the chords I need. Do you know what I mean? So it's less of that kind of Kanye West getting a good sample and looping it and sticking a rap on it bullshit, which I've got no interest in. You know, it's much more about turning the song, the samples into chords almost. And I actually, sometimes I actually map out, I've got this kind of Pro Tools document where I've mapped out all of my samples into different chords. So
you can pinch them, you mean?
Yes, well...
Or do you take their natural?
Yeah, so I keep them as they are, and yeah. I have every G chord of all my samples in G or something.
Sure, except sure.
Because I don't even know the names of notes, I've just called them 1, 2, 3, 4. I still don't know any chord names, but...
Let your ear tell you what sounds.
Yeah, so I have all my best stuff. So basically, every song is like my best shit.
Well, that's good. You wouldn't want to really give everybody your worst.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, the process. How do they start? Do they ever live as a demo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so like I say, it's normally every song starts with one good idea, you know, and a keeper. And it kind of grows outwards, so sometimes... And my phone is a big part of it. You know, I'm constantly singing into my phone and then listening back, getting the best bits. So it's like almost like a filtration thing, right?
Like a scratch pad.
Yeah, down to the good one. So each one has a different story around it. You know, one idea could be from yesterday, one could be from 7 years ago. You know.
Well, yeah, you said those books are from the 90s.
Well, you know, some stuff is old, yeah. We're just waiting to find the thing that goes with it. And my big thing is about the differences between things, you know, putting things next to each other which wouldn't normally. That's kind of my thing. And I've kind of revisited that idea more so on this record than the last one, you know.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to ask, what's the difference in the way you fold it back on? And this juxtaposing things that, aren't so people are used to certain ways. And I've always liked that about your songwriting. You can put things together that keep people awake, you know, because I think you get in cruise control. Things have been so big part of form, you know. And are you listening anymore?
Particularly across albums, that's my big thing as well, is putting wildly different kinds of songs next to each other as well, sort of shrinking in size, so one's like a little, almost like, you know, there's little sort of Velvet Underground, Mo Tuckery kind of small songs, which just feel like they've just been chucked onto a four-track, and then you have some big brass band, you know, layered brass band kind of thing next to each other, so playing with size next to each other, and, you know, I've always thought...
You mean between the songs, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Across the album. An unusual band in that I've kind of, you know, I come from a noise background I'm a Sonic Youth shellac kind of kid originally, but at the same time I've always liked, you know, the Jackson 5 and girl groups and Charlie Brown and stuff like that. So I've had this sort of tension between cuteness, you know.
Charlie Brown, the cartoon?
Yeah, okay. Like the music from that, you know.
Vince Gruff. Yeah. What's that tune?
So,
Schroeder.
Yeah, all of that, yeah.
Right.
I'm always sort of juggling the two things, you know, distortion versus bubblegum, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, actually, Ramones way more bubblegum than blues, you know.
Yeah.
This idea of the bridge, you know. You left the country to get the kids in Detroit's voices. Was the rest of it done there in Brighton?
Yeah, most of it, yeah. So the drums was done with Simone, who's our amazing new drummer. We did some brass with the local troupe here called the Neon Saints, who laid down lots of brass, you know, the sousaphones and everything, basically. Trombone, saxophone, trumpets, layered on top of each other.
Sousaphones are tubas, people that the guys in bands can carry.
Yeah, I wanted it to sound like almost like a, you know, like a gymnasium recording in a way. You know, the kind of almost like a community or a high school kind of band, that kind of roughness. Because one of my beefs with brass is how it's often sort of tied up with sort of the world of session musicians. Do you know what I mean? It's very slick potentially. It's all a bit Phil Collins, or you know what I mean? It can be really nasty in the wrong hands. You know what I mean? So I kind of like the side of brass which is a bit rough, out of tune, thrown together, almost like you're just getting a field recording. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the first Panther Burns album, Tab Falco Behind the Magnolia Curtain, as this right. This beat. I'm going to play this song here, Chico's Radical Decade. It has nothing to do, the title has nothing to do with the tune.
Was that the title for that?
Chico.
That's another one of my little books.
It was something out of a... Okay.
Yeah.
Chico.
Often I'm just... Yeah, just... If it feels right vaguely to the song,
let's listen.
with around 1% of the population currently taking to Telegram. Chances are someone listening to this, or someone you know, is taking to Telegram, but they will never tell you because for some reason in the United Kingdom, antidepressants are still a taboo subject. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you know someone struggling or you're struggling yourself, talk to people about it. Because chances are you know somebody that can help you, or you can help somebody else. If you don't feel comfortable talking about it, don't worry. But if we all start talking, maybe we can end the taboo and get somewhere.
Your pursuit in a claim. Technological advances during our lifetimes have provided home refrigeration, washing machines and dishwashers, microwave ovens, television, mobile phones, and a number of advances in photography and sound recording. That's to mention just a few of the changes which have affected the way we live. And each of these would be judged as beneficial. But a number of people, for various reasons, have not embraced them all. Some advances are examples of human perversion. Nuclear power might be taken as an example. It was in 1936 that the nuclear reaction upon which it depends was first observed. 3 years later, the Second World War commenced. Each side saw the possibility of developing an atomic weapon and were apprehensive that the other should succeed. Germany carried out extensive work, but finally settled for ballistic missiles instead. America, on the other hand, persisted with the help of a number of German scientists who had fled Germany prior to the commencement of hostilities. The result, as we know, was the devastation of two Japanese cities. And for a number of years following the end of the war, the research was for a much larger and more powerful bomb. Development for peaceful purposes, almost a mere afterthought. Were it not for the military, how long might it have been taken for a nuclear power to have been developed for useful purposes? Likewise, the global positioning system, the GPS we use in cars and other places, was developed for military purposes and developed and released for general use only after a far more accurate form had been developed for use by the military. And commercial interests also manipulated the release of products. Stocks of older products must often be sold before new ones are released. What is freely available in America or Japan is often only released here some time later. New products, for example iPhones and computer programs, are marketed in such a way as to cause hysterical behavior. advertising induces desire to have a product that is not really necessary or even appropriate just because it's new and different. The world of computers causes unease for some. Bringing the bank, many other institutions, we find ourselves conversing with a computer. Sometimes by pressing codes on the telephone keyboard, or other times having our conversation read by the computer. The bank would prefer us to use an ATM, where there's a possibility that our details will be stolen by a skimmer rather than visit the bank. For those who use the internet, there's an increasing risk of being the victim of some very sophisticated foul play, which could cost them dearly. And we're treated as somewhat illiterate if we do not use the internet. And what are Paul's words to the Corinthian Christians have to say on this topic? Could it be that Gareth, in choosing this passage, thought that technology could be considered as an idol? The manner in which some treat their high-tech gadgets makes that a distinct possibility. Thank you.
Well, for Pedro Show, brand new goatee, Chico's Radical Decade, Garth Sager with Black Crow in a Slow Snow, his new album. Guide by Voices, When We All Hold Hands at the End of the World, Sterile Jets, Go Out and Bleed, Fighting with Lump, Piles So Hard, The Breakfast Cowboy with the Belly Actor, David Gerard, A Thing About Machines, Concerto No. 2, Part 1 from Ted Kaine, Stay Cozy, Maya and the Revolutionary, Hell Yeah, and Hate, the Go Team, which I guess didn't come from the book.
Nah, not this one. One of the few literal titles, yeah.
Literally, little. So, about how long was it a process to do this one? Well, obviously going to Detroit was, but besides that.
Do you know what? I really can't tell. It's just a blur. I do know that my kicking off process is normally months of me just listening to records, right. You know, literally all day, and they could be generally old stuff, you know, 60s psych or Bollywood stuff or whatever. And I will, and the process of doing that almost like limbers up the brain. It's quite a weird thing. So, you know, if a little idea comes to you as you're, you know, if you hear a melody and occasionally you think, you stop it, you stop it before the melody resolves and you do your version of it. Do you know what I mean? You think, I would have done that at that point. And then it becomes your idea and you stick it on your phone and move on. Or occasionally I'll grab a sample, a little snippet and stick it in my, you know, my greatest hits folder. So my days would go on like this until I'd assemble all these hundreds and thousands of ideas, you know. It's a funny way of writing. But, I'm not one of those people that, I don't know if you do this, where you can just sit in a room and just knock out songs. You know, I need something to kick against, you know. I think...
I need titles.
Is that how you start, is it?
I always start with a title.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
I don't have a title. I have nothing to focus on. And sometimes I change it, but usually I just keep it. I know hardly anybody I know does it that way. Titles, it's like bass, you know, it's the last thing you put on.
I guess that's the equivalent of having something to kick against, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You need something to...
Well, I need it for focus.
Almost like negative space.
You need something like, you're talking about, like something to get traction, like a tire with the road, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a melody man, you know. I'm kind of looking for hooks, basically. You know, they're so elusive and so rare for me, you know, that that's my kind of currency, you know.
That's the best ones are probably Econo. You know, it's just the right combination of notes or holes. Yeah, hooks.
Yeah.
You know, the guys can just cook those up. I guess that band Steely Dan was kind of like that.
Mm.
Yeah, they would have guys just jam and stuff for hours, and then they'd listen. They'd sift through. And like, oh, there's a lick.
Yeah.
There's a gem. Yeah, I was reading this. Somebody gave me a book about them, and I wasn't really big into that band, but a trippy way to, this reminds me a little bit how you do yours, where you overload with a bunch of stuff, so yeah, the good will rise to the top.
Yeah, because I can't shred, and
what do you mean, technique? Like virtuoso? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can't do any of that thing. The only thing I've got going for me, really, is that I can spot a melody, I can spot an idea, and I think, yeah, that's the one there. And also, I'm perseverant, so yeah, I'm the one that's actually willing to sit there for weeks on end and I can do this stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Look, right there in the first hour, January 19th, 2018, Dishwap Pedro Show special guest in part. Go to hold tight for hour two. January 19th, 2018, it's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Even spies fall in love. Even spies fall in love.
我从山中来，还带着浪花草，种在校园中，希望花开早。一日看三回，看得花时过，兰花却依然含苞如故一颗。转眼秋天到，一冬不能防。朝朝听故稀，夜夜不相忘。细看此花开，还能得几远长？满天花处处，无天的雪落下。
Why, for Pedro, shall we start the second hour off with, if there's one thing you should know from the Gold Team, a soil omen with crown and the crown on the myth list. M.B. Jones, a demo of his Even Spies Fall in Love, Hidden Rifles with Paranoid Unsaid. I played bass on that project. I never played with the guys. I've done these things where I just give my bass. I mean,
yeah,
that's one good thing about the new day, the bad new days. You can do stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then She's Got Guns, the Go Team. She's Got Guns. You know what that means here, right?
The name.
It's not negative. She's Got Guns. Was that in the book of the old stuff?
That's a ninja thing, actually. That's what she wrote.
Okay. That makes more sense. What's the last thing you put on? Well, you probably, as you're putting things together, you're developing things, right? Wow, now I've done this. Maybe I should do that.
I think the vocals is the last thing I normally do, actually.
Okay.
I put a guide down. I know what the vocals are. Sometimes it's just me lowering, or it can be lyrics and stuff, but... Yeah,
like a guide track or something.
Yeah, it's not a pretty sound, to be honest. But
okay. But everyone can rally around it as you're building the tune. Yeah,
it's pretty handy. You know, I've got the ability to sing like a lady if I need to.
Right, you're singing on this record, right?
No, I do sing live now occasionally.
That's what it is.
Just to beef up the vocals a little bit. Just because we need to, you know. We're actually using trumpets live now. Trombone and trumpet for the UK tour, which is a new avenue for us.
Brass live.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I first saw you guys, I thought somebody had some pedal for their guitar that made those sounds. Okay, it's like, Where the fuck are those sounds coming from? It was at this place in... It was Perth, but not Perth. It's a little town there, more by the water.
Okay.
And you guys played your own show, and your road boss pointed to this box, and he said, that's where it's coming from. Because I thought it was a pedal. So you bring in horns. Yeah, okay.
Why did you come and see us there, then? Were you just wandering around?
I can't remember the name of this part of Perth. It's got its own name, you know. Angel something.
Right.
Kills Dan, maybe with a K. Anyway, not important. But I saw it and up close, and I'm hearing these sounds, and I didn't realize, you know, I didn't realize what the Go Team was at first, you know. And I heard all these sounds, and I know from Nels Klein, you can make guitars do all kinds of things. So I thought actually guitars were making those horn sounds.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are bringing horns.
We still use samples as well, obviously.
You know, there was a big thing here in the 90s with ska and all those guys, in the United States. I don't know, but actually, it probably started in England, right, in the 60s or something. But back to here in the 90s, and all those kids in the school band, they could be, you know, because rock and roll was kind of a guitar-based thing, and now they could, you know... trombones, trumpets, saxophone. They can be in the rock and roll bands now. But didn't last long. Yeah. Maybe 5 or 6 years.
Because we had the whole two-tone thing in the 80s, didn't we?
That's right. That's probably where we got it from. Two-tone.
Right,
two-tone. Yeah. It's kind of a... And it's Jamaica, right? Reggae, some kind of influence.
Yeah, I think so. Strangely, it started in the Midlands in England. Yeah, you know, two-tone and the Specials and all that sort of stuff. There must be some immigration reason for that somewhere down the line, yeah.
Well, that's a neat thing. But that allowed the brass guys to be in the bands. And, I know what you're saying about the Phil Collins thing. It seems like, or like talk show bands.
Yeah.
It's too regular. Yeah, there's no edge on it and stuff. Well, are these young guys playing the horns?
Got two ladies, yeah.
Ladies. People, I should say. And so you think they got enough specialness? It's not so side woman, side mouse.
Well, you know, I think often they're kind of presented in a row, aren't they? Up the back in a row, you know, with their...
with the charts. You know,
stay in your place kind of thing. I think lots of it's, you know, how you lay out the stage, you know, if you get everyone involved. But there's going to be like eight of us now on stage, you know, and we all move around as well, so there's going to be some thrashing accidents going down, I think.
I got to tell you, you know, with the Stooges, Brother Steve on the sax, I'm way into a horn on stage, or horns.
Yeah,
there's something about it. I know Ig was, too. You know, it's think about it, the human voice, right? It's probably closer to the horn than bass or guitar. So there's something about that. Ig, I know it could feel companionship. I want to play All the Way Live. Is there any story behind that? All the Way Live.
That's the one I was talking about, where we it's a sample of a high school kind of after school project record.
Okay.
Track down the teacher. He was still alive, Mr. Well, Harris.
Mr. Harris. Okay, here's his Go Team debut.
We're vacation, but I was a driver with a diesel waiting. Then they asked if I knew Jesus. I said, why? Is he in the truck? They said he goes everywhere in case they get stuck.
All the way.
So I approached a local Detroit high school and just asked their music teacher if they could come down with some kids on the Friday night. And she turned up with three kind of giggling 12-year-old girls who were, you know, never been in a studio before. It was all like really, wow, you know. And one of the ones is the girl you hear on that.
Chainlink Fence, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard that before that. Jesus 4x4 from DER, Birds of Paradise, Sadada, Mute Point with Call of the Night. Ahead of that, Orthodox with Solemn Triduo. Triduo, yeah, strange. And then started off with the Go Team doing All the Way Live. So, I mean, it was just a random school.
You mean the one, the chain link fence?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I'm looking for. I love the idea. This is my big thing, is capturing people that have never been on record before.
Sure.
Who don't think of themselves as singers. The minute somebody calls themselves a singer, I'm less interested. I like the idea, and there's lots of old soul records like that where you find out, or you don't find out anything about them because they were like literally a producer dragging people in and making them do these cool little songs. So they were just often, you know, teenagers or whatever who did one song and then disappeared and got back on with their life again, you know. So I like that idea of that kind of voice which isn't professional enough to be called where they'd call themselves a singer. Do you know what I mean? That perfect place between amazingness, where they might not even realize that they're amazing, and the minute you start, you know, over emoting and going through the motions and singing how you think singers should sing, you know, the Mariah Carey brigade or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in that little, like, that idea of where you, and it's really rare to hear anyone sing in this way, you know. I think Chainlink Fence was, for me, captured that perfect place because it was almost like R&B, but it wasn't at all. It didn't have any of the sort of trappings of singing in that way. You know, it felt much more genuine and pure in a good way for me. You know.
Yeah, you know, a lot of those people they learn to sing in the church.
Right. Yeah.
A lot less self-conscious, right? You just get carried up. Everybody's singing with you. And a lot of those rock and roll too, and R&B and all that has a lot of people that got started was with church singing.
Yeah,
and I think it's different than being put on a little pedestal and I don't know. You just get caught up, and the feeling's more important than just getting all the particulars. You know.
That's right.
That overwrought stuff, you know, gilding the lily.
Yeah.
Terrible. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, January 19th, 2018 edition. Watt from Pedro Show, hold tight for hour three.
There's going to be a backlash, surely. I mean, it's going to date it really specifically to this era, probably. It's going to sound quite funny.
It's going to sound like snare drum in the early 80s.
Yeah.
That's snare drum. It's even on one of these Minutemen records. I remember Ethan James getting one. Yeah, and he had to use it. It was an SBX 90 or something. This thing. January 19th, 2018. It's the third hour of the Law from Pete Ocean.
accountable I am. If this is the end, I made myself breathless with all of my worthlessness. Fire in my brain, will you make it okay? Does it kill you to know that we're all dying? It kills me to know. Does it kill you to know that we're all dying? It kills me to know. Fire in my brain, but I douse it in rain. Sat before churches with blood on my face. Fire in my brain, will you make it okay? Fire in the brains of those who die trying to make sense of the life below fire escapes. Fire in our brains, who will make it okay? Does it kill you to know that we're all dying? Does it kill you to know? Does it kill you to know that we're all dying? Yeah, it kills me to know. Guys,
Thing is, like, yeah, belonging to some kind of era of sound, and you're looking at songs as more being immune from that.
Yeah, how you do it, I don't know, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, people often call us a retro group and stuff, you know.
Retro meaning old fashioned.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's obviously some truth in that, but because I lots of the things I sample are, you know, I'm attracted to lo-fi and distortion and things like that, which are often associated with, you know, old sort of Northern Soul-y kind of style production or whatever. But for me, it's more about excitement. I like the idea. I think distortion and things almost buckling under the weight of something has a kind of a psychological effect that it's almost creates excitement more than a nostalgic feeling for me. You know, I think when the song is kind of almost buckling under its own weight and breaking up, I think that's almost like a cue to the brain that it's an exciting sound. You know what I mean? There's something wrong here, that kind of idea.
Sure, sure. Kareen and yeah. I should say what we played. We heard start off the third hour with Plans Are Like a Dream You Organize. That sounded like it came out of the old book, did it?
That was actually a rare case of something scanning in the melody. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you probably get this as well, where you'll be singing a melody and just a phrase will almost from your subconscious will just fit with it, and it's almost like you don't have any choice in it. It's just that's what it is. You know, you can't unknow it. So that was one of those rare things where it just sort of scanned in my head, and that was it, you know.
This one, the one after, is from Minutemen. It's called Dreams of Free Motherfucker. I got that title from Henry Rollins.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he gave it to me. And Mal DeVizo with Fire after that, Unit F with Magnet Head on Dolphin. Yeah, I've always wondered about this band. They're called On Dolphin. And I found the CD. It was in a gig in Pacifica. Going out there, they put the CD, you know, just the disc between my windshield and windshield wiper. So I think they're from that area. Exterminators, Bionic Girl, and finally Mayday, the Go Team. And this Mayday is the warning, right? I'm in distress.
Yeah.
Because is that the key in beep, 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 beep? Is that the actual Morse code for Mayday?
A few people have asked me this. No, it was just rhythmically fitted it, but...
Well, SOS is... So I think that's dot, 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 dash, dash.
Beep, 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 beep,
yeah.
Beep. I mean, your dad would probably know all that stuff, wouldn't he?
Morse code, I don't know.
Before his time.
He was in the engine room. He was watching pressure and lines and stuff like that.
Right.
But the distress call, right? This Mayday.
Yeah, it was kind of...
Not
again,
the holiday.
I like those sort of soul songs which are kind of really sort of melodramatic, you know, Rescue
Yeah, sure.
Me and Stop in the Name of Love or whatever, you know,
yeah,
they're really...
I was starting to think of that too, man.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
So, yeah, I like that idea, and it fitted, everything kind of slotted together, the idea of Mayday and the idea of this girl having some sort of unknown love problems, you know, and kind of putting a shout out to somebody to come and help her, you know. It was kind of, I almost thought, God, somebody must have done this idea before, you know, with having Morse code and applying it to sort of girl, boy problems, you know, the sort of Shangri-La's kind of idea of, you know, yeah. So, yeah, it was one of those rare songs where it kind of just slotted together really nicely, all the kind of metaphors and the melodies and everything kind of became one thing, you know.
Yeah. What about Getting Back Up?
The last one, yeah, that was kind of, I mean...
Because in a weird way, maybe it should have been the first song.
Yeah, I mean...
Instead of Mayday, but...
I think it's becoming a bit of an indie cliche, this whole... but a valid one, this whole Trumpy... Isn't the world shit now? This is our anti-Trump album, that kind of thing. I think you're going to hear that from pretty much every band that's making a record from now on, you know. But there was something for me, subconsciously, in getting back up about this idea of fuck 'em, let's get on with it, let's make our own reality, sure, let's organize, let's. It's almost like that balance between, you know, being engaged with what's happening and switching off and saying, fuck 'em, let's get on with our own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It seems like modern life is about that balance now between...
You're talking like the parallel universe.
Well, it's about reading the news and going, okay, that's shit, whatever, I know about all that stuff. You know, you can't just completely switch off and disengage with the world if it's a bit rubbish, you know. But at the same time, you have to kind of compartmentalize your brain in a way these days, you know, and say, okay, it's shit, but let's have it, you know what I mean? Let's get on with it, let's make our own version of stuff, you know. So for me, subconsciously, that song is a bit like that. It's kind of quite motivational in a kind of a community-ish, choir-y kind of a way, you know. That's what I was imagining anyway.
Okay, let's listen.
walking by his sister Kane. I forgot his sister's name, but I do remember when they tied. Very young, so sweet and white. What a beautiful child. Till the storm in the battle hall, she became Paris' wife, Juanita. Juanita. Every single body loved to meet her. She was always charming, ready with a helping hand. Hey, to feed the troops. With the daily house.
With the daily
house. Sarah Smith is very lucky. We are lucky where she cooks.
Juanita.
I'm talking about
Juanita.
And everybody in campaign knew who was Juanita. She was fucking with the soldiers, sleeping on the battlefields beside her horse. In a diehard 57, they were praying for Juanita. Even the Duke of Wellington called her Juanita. Stepping out of carriage came, she was noticed too late. Cantaloupe for breakfast became a Spanish bacon. There's a sometimes keen in the caramel brown. Let's meet the beat name of this brand new town.
Juanita.
Hmm. Oh, think about it.
Sig själv och kliver fel. En klockan tickar rätt och han går ner. Och skuggan står ensam kvar. Han ligger med sig själv och sina kvar. Staden ligger tung och känslolös. Gör med sina fel och hur han ses. Han viskar för sig själv halleluja. Han drömmer om en flod som blev ett hav. Vrider sig i greppet av sin grav. Han söker efter ord som ger oss hopp. Han binder sig vid bilden av en kropp. Han glömmer plötsligt allt en fel. We'll be right back.
ner och ner och ner igen. Han kastar sig mot tyngdens lag och viker sig sen i ett halleluja.
She thinks she's funny.
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 Thank you.
Why for Pedro Show last music for this edition. Getting back up by the Go Team, starting it off. Then Kurt Stifel and the Swing Shift with You Only Look So Real. Steve Reed's on bass there. Incredible cat. Modern Problem with Mailman. Dead Capo. You know about this Love Monk label in Spain? There's a bunch of stuff from there.
Love Monk.
Yeah.
No.
Kind of 60s vibe.
Garage Rock.
Dead Capo with Well You Need and Gecko Turner with Juanita. Junferno with Alt Arfal. This version from Pajaro Sunrise. And finally, Cocodrillos Asesinando from Pyramid Blue. Finally, the answer is no from the Go Team. Plans. You got a tour coming, U.S. First, you're going to do over there, right?
That's right, yeah. So, February, doing a fistful of dates in the UK, bit of Germany action, and then, so, end of March, early April, we're stateside, your side. So, we're starting in LA, I believe.
Wow.
And heading up the coast to all the usual Seattle.
Sure.
Portland, San Francisco, San Diego, then we're doing Minneapolis, Detroit, Chicago,
Toronto.
Yeah, all of that. Toronto, Boston, New York. Yeah.
No south.
How do you mean? Deep south?
Well, not the deep south or any south.
South. No, not really. We
most south is Los Angeles, right?
Right, yeah. No, we've got jobs now. It's hard. It's hard to get time. Well, I haven't got a job. I'm a man of leisure, but yeah.
You wouldn't consider putting a record like this together a job, huh?
Nah.
Before you were saying you're the only one with the patience. Believe me, it's work. You do an incredible job. Thanks so much, Ian. January 19, 2000. 18 edition Waffle Pedro Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.